How can I practice the biblical discipline of solitude? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Hi, it's Bill Meyer along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question. Our phone lines will be open for the next 25 minutes or so. Here's the number. It's 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. You can also email us at questions@corechristianity.com. And Adriel, don't look at the sun right now.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, that's something I like to do is stare at the sun from time to time. Just
are children listening. Don't give them any ideas.
Yeah. It's called tanning your eyeballs. And it's a good way of actually don't. I hope I don't get in trouble. Do not do what I just said. I don't think you can tan your eyeballs. So.
Oh, my goodness. Pretty amazing, though, God's creation. You just, you know, you think about what we're seeing right now, or many people are seeing right now in the sky.
You're talking about the eclipse, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. The solar eclipse, I guess, will be visible in many states. Some people getting the total thing, some people a partial, like 80%, depending on where you live. So pretty awesome. Are you seeing it in San Diego? Well, I guess you're not seeing because you're not looking.
I am in a studio right now. Yeah. I mean, I hope it's happening right now. I don't know. But I have not seen anything that we had one not too long ago, and I got to see that through those cool, you know, movie theater glasses or whatever those things are. And that was exciting. I mean, that was great. And so, and maybe we'll get some calls today about, you know, whether or not this has to do with the end times, because I have been seeing that floating around out there. You know, is this, you know, blood moon, end times, solar eclipse, you know, the sun turning to darkness and the moon to blood, that kind of a thing. And so if you're wondering about, if you're concerned that the rapture is going to happen today and you're, you know, about to sell your house or not, I don't even know what you're, give us a call here at the Core, 833-843-2673.
Please don't do that. Don't sell your house because of the solar eclipse.
No, take it easy. Take it easy.
That's right. Well, let's move to one of our callers. We actually had a voicemail that came in from a listener named Tim.
Regarding adultery, before marriage, I had slept with my ex while I was dating my now wife. I have asked God for forgiveness and am truly remorseful for this act. I have not cheated on my wife since we've been married, but I have not confessed to her. I am fearful of doing so, obviously. My question, I guess, is, am I forgiven for my sins by asking forgiveness of God, or does he require me to confess my sin to my wife now of something that happened before we were married? Okay. I thank you for your wisdom, and I just look forward to this question that has been plaguing me for quite some time now, about 10 years. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Tim, thank you for reaching out with your question. We've had similar questions on the broadcast before. And what I want to say is, you know, when we come to the Lord truly confessing our sins, we are forgiven. It's not that we have to go to, you know, a man or a priest or another person in order to truly receive forgiveness from the Lord. We can go directly to God the Father through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. There is a benefit to confessing to one another. And in fact, we're encouraged to confess our sins to one another in various places in Scripture. In 1 John chapters 1 and 2, also in James chapter 5, there's a blessing associated with confessing our sins. It's the blessing, I think, of walking in the light and accountability. And if, especially when we've sinned against someone else, I think a part of real reconciliation in the relationship is being honest to each other. And so you feel this rift in your marriage now after 10 years because of something that happened that, you know, your wife doesn't know about. It was before you guys were married, but you know it was still a sin against her as you guys were dating or engaged, and you're grieved by it. And my encouragement to you would be, I mean, if this is still weighing upon your heart, I'm not saying, well, you're not forgiven, but I am saying I would encourage you to have a conversation with your wife and to tell her, you know, about the turmoil that you've been experiencing, the pain you've been experiencing, because you know what you did was wrong and sinful, and you've been ashamed of it, and you haven't been able to talk to her because you've been afraid. I think through that conversation, through confessing it, you know, to her, I mean, you've confessed it to the Lord, but through confessing it to her as well and asking her for forgiveness, even though this happened, you know, many years ago, I think that two things. One, it's going to be hard. I don't want to minimize that. It can be really, really hard, and that's, I'm sure, going to be very, very hard for her to hear. But the situation is not hopeless, and God certainly can work and will work in and through this to bring, I think, greater unity, greater peace, greater love, a greater sense of honesty in your relationship. Right now, you feel like you don't have that because you haven't been honest with her, and you have this secret that you haven't told your wife. And I've talked to many spouses who, I mean, they have stuff like that, and they just try to brush it under the rug, but they know that there is a tension, a rift in their own heart with this relationship because they haven't been honest. And so I think just being honest and walking in the light and confessing to her, having this conversation, recognizing that the gospel is big enough for this situation, and that the same God who forgives you can also bring comfort and healing to her and blessing to your relationship, to your marriage, through honesty. I mean, if you know, the situation was turned around, I'm sure you would want her to be honest with you. We need to be honest with our spouses. And I think that's key to a good relationship, to a healthy relationship, is that kind of communication where there's transparency. And when we don't have that in marriage, it creates all sorts of other problems. And so my encouragement is prayerfully have this conversation with your wife. Confess to her, not because, you know, God doesn't forgive you if you don't, but because I think it'll bring healing in your marriage. Thanks for your question.
Tough situation. And Tim, thanks for your call and for your honesty. And I think you'll make a really good decision if you do exactly what Adriel says. And as he mentioned, it may not be easy, and her response may not be initially what you are looking for, but hang in there. The gospel is big enough for this situation. So
it is.
Thanks, Adriel. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Our phone lines are open. If you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life, maybe you have a question about doctrine or theology, or maybe something in your church life that you're either confused about or concerned about, maybe an ordinance of your church, and you're like, I don't quite get this. Here's the phone number. It's 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. Let's go to Ava, who's calling in from North Carolina. Hi, Ava. How are you?
Hello, Pastor Adriel. My name is Ava, and I'm 11 years old. And I have a question for you. Where did the followers of God go when they died before Jesus came?
Ooh, Ava, what a great question. And thank you for listening to Core Christianity. And boy, for calling, what a wonderful question. So where did the followers of God go, of Jesus go, before Jesus accomplished his redemptive work? Where were they? Did they go to heaven? Were they in some sort of holding tank? You know, it's an excellent question. A couple of things that I want to say to you. One, Ava, everyone who's ever been saved by the Lord is saved in the same way, by grace through faith. Now, believers in the Old Testament, you think of people like Abraham and Moses, they were saved looking forward to the promises of God, the promise of God's redemption that was coming. And God gave it to them through his word, through the various, institutions in the temple, you know, the sacrifices that they had there that were pictures of the gospel. And so they had this sense of understanding, this sense of the gospel, but they were looking forward to the promise, and they were saved by that faith, looking forward to what God would do. We're saved as we look back on the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus. And so when they died believing, I believe that they were brought into the presence of God, into the place of paradise. There's an interesting story, Ava, that might be, I think, helpful as you think about this question. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story of the rich man and Lazarus, and he talks about these people who had died. One of them goes to a place of blessing, we might call it paradise, and the other one goes to a place of judgment and curse. This is Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. In other words, he's in the presence of God. He's right there with Father Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. And so look, this is Jesus is telling this story, something that's a parable, before, you know, he's accomplished his redemptive work on the cross, and you have these two people. One of them is taken to a place of judgment, a place of torment. I would say the person who didn't believe, who rejected God's word. The other is taken to the place of blessing, paradise, what we might call heaven, there by Father Abraham, you know, the father of faith, if you will, the one who believed in the promises of God and was justified, as Paul said in Romans chapter 4. And so where did they go? Well, they were in the presence of God, those who believed, in a place of blessedness, in a place of joy. And so appreciate your question, Ava. Thank you so much for giving us a call and for listening to Core Christianity. And brothers and sisters, let's just take a moment to pray for our sister Ava, that the Lord would continue to be with her and bless her and her family. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to open your word and to talk about it. And we thank you for our sister Ava, that even at 11 years old, she has such good questions about your word. And I pray that as she continues to study the Bible and to read it, that you would bless her, Jesus, that you would be with her, that you would strengthen her faith and draw her closer to you. Would you be with her family? Would you bless them? And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ava, so nice to hear from you there in North Carolina. It's always great to hear from our younger listeners. And we do have a lot of them. It's kind of surprising. And some listen with their parents and some might listen on their own. So thanks, Ava, for calling. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. In addition to being a pastor and the host of this program, Adriel is also a published author, and he has a brand new book out that we are really excited about.
Yes, it's crazy, Bill. Today is actually the official release day of Praying with Jesus, Getting to the Heart of the Lord's Prayer. My first book. And it's a book on prayer. It's 10 chapters, the first three chapters are basically sort of general teaching on prayer. One of the things I talk about there in the first part of the book is the importance of making time to pray. I know many of us think, I just don't have time. I feel like I don't have any time to pray. Well, I talk about that in the third chapter and try to give some helpful advice and even just look at the teaching of the Bible with regard to the discipline of prayer and making time to pray. And so I hope that encourages you, but also have, the following chapters just explaining each of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer. And so I hope that this is an encouragement to you in your relationship with the Lord, and that it helps you to pray with and like Jesus.
Mm. Once again, it's called Praying with Jesus, and we'll send one to you for a donation of any amount if you go to corechristianity.com/offers. That's corechristianity.com/offers. You can also call us for any one of our offers. Here's the number. It's 833-THE-CORE, 833-843-2673. Well, we do receive voicemails here at Core Christianity, and we have people listening across the world. In fact, we received this call from Letibe in South Africa.
Good evening, good morning, whatever time you listen to this. Thank you so very much for your ministry. I have a question regarding the spiritual discipline pertaining biblical solitude. So we see it oftentimes in the gospel, Christ going alone to be by himself. And many theological scholars and even pastors will advise us to engage and be benefactors of the spiritual discipline today. My question is, I want to start dedicating time to do just that for the purpose of godliness. And I was wondering if you do any journaling or have any prompts that I can think of in these times when I'm alone with the Lord, just to biblically journal and think through some things as I search the state of my own soul. I hope that makes sense.
Atibe, thank you so much for that question. Beautiful name, by the way. And I really appreciate just the heart behind your question, wanting to spend time with the Lord and in solitude. And you know what? I think that in particular, solitude is something that many of us don't get enough of. I feel that. I mean, I have five little children, so quiet time and time in solitude is something you really have to carve out, especially in our day and age with all of the different voices that are vying for our attention. I mean, not just you know, people that we love who are in our family and in our home, but you think of media and social media and advertisements and just everywhere. It just seems like there's so much noise that getting away to be with God seems more and more difficult for many of us. And yet, I love that you brought up the example of our Lord Jesus. You do see in Jesus this example of getting away to be with the Father in prayer. And I do think that prayer there specifically is the focus. It's not just being alone, it's being alone and praying and communing with God in prayer. And so in terms of the discipline, I think that what's beneficial about getting away from all the noise and having real quiet time in the presence of God is it's really easy for us to, I think, avoid the problems in our own lives, our own heart, our sin even, that we just try to forget about or brush under the rug. But when you get alone and you begin to think about where you are, your relationship with the Lord, sometimes, you know, things come to the surface, conviction of the Holy Spirit, especially as you're reading the Word of God. And so in terms of prompts, I would say Scripture is the main prompt, opening up the Word of God, studying the Bible. So getting away, I think spending some time in the Word, in the Psalms, I think is really good. Journaling is also really a wonderful thing. It's just a wonderful way to, I think, enhance your prayer life as well. It's so easy for us to be distracted while we're praying that having something like a prayer journal is really beneficial just to, you know, to fight against the distractions. But the other benefit is I've looked at prayer journals that I, you know, wrote in years and years ago that I forgot about. And it's amazing to see like, oh, wow, I forgot about that prayer, but God did not forget about that prayer. He answered that prayer. And so there's so many wonderful benefits to having something like that. So the Word of God is I think the main prompt, getting away with the intention of communing with God, taking your Bible with you, and studying the Scriptures and then prayerfully meditating upon them, and then maybe just having times of quiet and silence and reflecting upon what the Word of God says, asking God to illuminate your mind and heart and saying, Lord, search me and know me. Help me to see those areas of my life that I still need to bring to you and offer up to you. Those areas of my life that are not pleasing to you, God, that I'm blind to right now, help me. And I believe that that's a prayer that the Lord will answer. But again, for many of us and for many people, they're afraid. They're afraid of doing that. They're afraid of getting alone with God because of what they might find or what the Lord might show to them. And so don't be afraid. It really is such a blessing, such a benefit, and so important for us to do. And just one, wanted to read Psalm 62, verse 5, with this idea of solitude in mind. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So beautiful. God, my soul waits for you in silence. Trust in him. Pour out your heart before him. And that's the goal of getting away to be with the Lord. God bless.
Mm. So well said. And unfortunately, in this day and age, so few Christians practice any of the spiritual disciplines. Another one that I think is important today is simplicity. We just have so much crowding out our lives, and we need to simplify in many cases, right?
Yeah, that's right. Some of it is just maybe overly busy and kept from the things that we really should be doing. You think of Mary and Martha, right? Busying herself for the Lord, serving him, and Mary sitting at his feet in silence, ready to hear what the Lord has to say. That's what we need.
Amen. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Here's our phone number. If you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life, it's 833-THE-CORE. Let's go to Carolyn in Missouri. Or is it Caroline? How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I'm looking at the eclipse, and which just speaks of the glory and majesty of God. I couldn't help say that.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Okay, when a believer dies, does their soul or does their spirit go to heaven? I've even heard some pastors say your body, you have a new body in heaven as soon as you die. Mm. And I'm just wondering, which is it? And do you have a Bible reference you could give me?
Great. Yeah, well, one, you know, remember what the psalmist said. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. The skies above reveal the glory of God. And so we can say amen to what you just said about the glory of God being revealed, even in the solar eclipse. And then with regard to this question about, you know, what happens exactly when we die? Do we get new bodies immediately in heaven? No. The answer to that is no. We don't get new bodies immediately. Our souls or our spirits, and I use that interchangeably because I think of the New Testament soul and spirit are used interchangeably to describe, you know, the person. Sometimes persons are referred to as souls or spirits. You see this in the book of Revelation, for example. Our souls are immediately brought into the presence of the Lord. They're perfected in holiness. And so the moment a Christian dies, right, we're perfected in holiness and in our souls, immediately brought into the presence of the Lord, and we're waiting for, in heaven, in God's presence, the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That final event in redemption, the resurrection of the dead. And so at that point, we get new bodies, but not before that point. And so we refer to the time in between as the intermediate state. Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That is, when I die, I'm going to be away from my body, but at home in the presence of the Lord. And of course, there are a number of other passages that highlight this. Paul, when he's writing to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, and he's talking about the fact that he's going to die soon. He knows, you know, he's going to go down into the grave. And he's wrestling with, you know I'm going to die. I want to continue to live to serve you, Philippian church. I know that's good for you. It's that beautiful verse where he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then he says in verse 23, I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And so the Apostle Paul, when he thought about death, he saw it as when I die, I'm going to depart. That is, my spirit, my soul is going to leave my body, but I'm going to be with Christ. And that's far better than being here on earth. I mean, I love you guys, but being with Jesus is going to be better. And so that's what Paul is getting at. And you see this in other places too. I mean, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 talks about the believers who have gone before us in heaven around the throne of God, worshiping him. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, this picture of the heavenly worship. And so that's something that we all, through faith in Jesus Christ, look forward to, is the perfection of our souls in the presence of God at death. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, go to corechristianity.com/radio. Or you can call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, let us know how we can be praying for you. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.